You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of The Assembly Call, as today your Indiana Hoosiers go on the road without their starting point guard and beat Michigan 78-75 to move to 7-1 on the season overall and 2-0 in the Big Ten as they notch both early Big Ten wins. This was a game that seemed to be slipping away from IU a little bit. It was 56-51. They were losing in the second half. Mike Woodson took a timeout, and IU proceeded to come out of that timeout and score in their next seven possessions to really get back in the game. Seize a little bit of control, but ultimately they were able to make enough plays down the stretch, made a few free throws. Michigan missed a few free throws, but a really hard-fought game, a number of great contributions from really anybody that stepped on the floor for IU, which is what you need in a road game against a team that maybe is of a similar caliber to you in Michigan. And so to be able to pick up a Big Ten road win is absolutely huge for the confidence of this team. And lots of big plays, guys stepped up who had not played well at other times in the game. And so lots to discuss as we talk about this IU victory, but certainly happy to do it with a victory in hand. And so we'll break it all down for you here. I'm Andy Bottoms here with the coach Brian Tonsoni and Ryan Phillips. And we are going to break the whole game down for you on the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment.
Just go.
Just building anticipation of the moment.
Just go.
You're good.
Just go.
I don't actually think. Yeah, maybe we don't use that.
Yeah, I don't think we do it on game nights.
Oh man, totally. That's on me. All right. Well, the banner moment today was going to be that stretch that I mentioned coming out of that timeout, just really showing what a great finger on the pulse that Woodson seems to have for this team, and great timeout, great response out of the timeout by the team. But you've got to go toward the end of the game. It's tied at 73. IU dumps it inside to Khalil Ware, who makes a great move, fends off the defender, and makes a semi skyhook, I would say, to put IU up 75-73. Also had blocked the shot a couple possessions before that, but IU would never really relinquish the lead once he gave it to him there. He made some big plays early. He had really gone quiet. Renew was the opposite, quiet early. Picked up a lot of the slack late, and those guys combined for a number of big plays. But that play by Ware and his play really throughout, blocking the last pass to keep Michigan from even getting off a potential tying shot attempt. You just see a guy who continues to grow and play hard and improve each and every game. And so a big shot from him in a situation where he had not scored many points leading up to that. But that sky hook was good enough to give IU the lead and good enough for the banner moment for Khalil Ware. All right. Our banner moment, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, who are now in their seventh season sponsoring the Assembly Call. Homefield Apparel, wear on for the team. And as you know, Homefield is the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere, and is much better at doing things than Coach and I are so far in the show and timing up what we're doing here. But IU is their flagship school, as all of you know. And so there's plenty of high quality gear with IU logos from the past that is right around the corner. Not too late to get in your Christmas wish lists from Homefield. But it's also not just IU. Their product line extends to well over 150 colleges and universities, plus the Colts, their core collection, and much more. I personally just received, let's say, a half dozen things from Homefield that I'd ordered as part of their deal. So one of them, an IU long sleeve shirt, another a hoodie to celebrate Michael Penix and the Washington Huskies. So no matter what you buy, you know that it'll be comfortable and the colors will last through many washings. Plus, you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through the Kelley School of Business and isn't shy about showing its love for the Hoosiers. You can go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME23 to get 15% off your entire first order. Again, that's promo code HOME23 for 15% off. That website, again, is homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, now it's time. We've worked out the early game jitters and issues here. So let's move the ball, find the open man, see if I can stop messing stuff up, and get some thoughts on the rest of our team. Ryan, I'll throw it to you first. Anything to rant about tonight outside of, you know, Peacock, the fact I had to have my TV volume at about 50, and the fact that Stephen Bardo was on the call. But outside of that, anything to rant about?
Plenty of things to go to. I don't know how I'm going to follow that smooth as silk intro, guys. I really don't. You guys just working hard over there. You know, this is a huge early season win for Indiana, and I know Michigan is scuffling, but look at the top of the Big Ten standings right now, and your Indiana Hoosiers are sitting right there at 2-0, and there's a certain school not too far up the road that is not there yet. And I think that's big for Indiana, that being that this team is young, being that it has not played together that long, to go on the road in conference, I don't care who you're playing, and to go get a win when I don't think Indiana played its best, especially in the first half. We saw them just throwing the ball all over the gym. It felt like going into halftime that they should have been up about 10 points and Michigan had the lead. And you're looking at like, oh man, now Michigan's kind of figuring it out. And you wasted an opportunity where you turned the ball over 10 times and Michigan didn't start well. And you let them back in the game and let them hang around, and it looked like Michigan was kind of getting it together. But Indiana stepped up in the second half, and what was the most impressive about this game wasn't any individual performance, though there were a couple that we're going to talk about. Indiana had, I believe it was 9 players play, and 8 of them scored 6 or more points. Or was it 10 that played? Who was it? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, it's 9 who played, and 8 had 6 or more points. This is a balanced game from these guys. Everybody contributed in one way or another. Some guys did it on defense, some guys did it on offense, but they scored across the board. Without your senior point guard, you need guys to step up, because Gabe Cupps, God love him, he played great defense tonight, but he's not really going to give you much on offense. And so you're missing the 15 points or so that Xavier Johnson is going to give you. That's got to come from other guys, and everybody else stepped up. So it was huge to get that. Peyton Sparks had a nice run. CJ Gunn hit a couple jumpers. Caleb Banks had some nice drives. Anthony Walker just kind of doing little things on offense, following things, you know, backdoor cut for a dunk. It was just nice to see other guys contribute and to come in and be confident that they could contribute, especially against a team. While Michigan isn't playing well, that's a talented roster, and Indiana's guys felt like they could go at them. And so the confidence you're seeing there, you're just hoping you can carry that forward now and continue to build on it. I think we've seen over the last 3 games, Indiana's really starting to show some life outside of Malik Renu and Khalil Ware doing what they do. Other guys are starting to get it. Other guys are starting to lock in, and other guys are starting to play really well. And that's what this team's going to need. This team's going to need all of those parts working together to get to the to its highest point and get to the place that I think that everyone thinks it could go to. So really big win for Indiana. It's hard to say something this early in the season's like season changing or anything like that. It's not, but it's a really good win to put on the resume and build confidence as you're moving forward. And you head into January now with a Big Ten road win on the docket already. You don't have to go find those with as much urgency. You've got one in the bank.
Yep. Coach, it's Tonsoni time. What are your opening thoughts on the win tonight?
Handling adversity. This team did a great job within the game of improving in spots within the game and putting adversity behind them to find the will to win a game late. You mentioned it in your opening that there were several parts where you felt good about the game, and then the game felt like it was slipping away, and you had individual players that really struggled for major parts of the game that were dominating down the stretch. That is a sign of a team that is connected. We'll talk about all the turnovers and all of that stuff, which is part of the evaluation of tonight's game. And it wasn't necessarily super pretty. But to go on the road for the first time with a bunch of new players and come out with the win against a team that, you know, again, is talented, I thought they handled adversity and they stuck with it. And you got a lot of key moments from the bench, as Ryan said, that just really sparked – this team. And then you have a guy like Mbako, who they were taking out for defensive purposes, and they put him in cold, and he knocks down free throws. So you're starting to see where this team needs to be to win big, big games. And from a bracketology aspect, and we all kind of, you know, somewhat panicked way too early about the net. We shouldn't pay attention to it until about mid-January, late January. But it's a game that'll help build those statistics up, and it's a road win, which the committee, if you're getting close to a seed line or even selection for the committee, winning road games, and now you hope Michigan goes on a run and you have that that stay a quad one. But it was handling adversity. Individual CJ Gunn from game to game coming in and handling it. Trey Galloway was not very good, made some key plays. That's good to see. I thought Coach Woodson had one of his better games. I thought the strategy was good. I thought
100% agree. 100%
execution
agree.
Execution was horrible by the players in the first half, but his coming out of timeouts, coming out of the halftime, making some subs at times were better tonight. I still have some issue with that, but I thought it was really a well-coached game. That's two in a row here in the Big Ten for Coach Woodson.
Yeah, I think he's coached three games in a row really well. I really do. And Harvard, I think three of the better games he's coached at IU. And I'll even throw Louisville in there, switching to that zone, like, you know, going against his tendencies and switching to a zone late. I think he's had a run of really well coached games. I still think there's not enough movement on offense. And, you know, how much of that's the players, how much of that the coaches, you don't really know right now. Just on the perimeter, I think guys throw it into the big guys and kind of are waiting for something to happen. But that's not necessarily on the coaching staff. It's just guys getting kind of caught watching the ball. But I think that Woodson has done a really nice job over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, leads well into at least one of the main things I want to talk about, which is just kind of the pulse that he seems to have on the team and the personnel. You know, I think it's 56-51, as I said, in that one stretch. Doug McDaniel had made a floater, finally made a shot. He'd been really trying to force things for a while. Puts Michigan up 56-51, and it really felt like IU hadn't scored in a few possessions outside of a tip-in. And it's midway through the second half. He takes a timeout, comes out, you know, two of the next three possessions gets renew the ball on the block inside, who scores with his right hand, which was clearly not the scouting report on him, nor should it have been at that point. But, you know, was able to score inside. Mbako scored on a big drive after, you know, Michigan hits a three. Mbako just comes right back down, like rams it right down their throat, gets to the basket and scores. You had CJ Gunn step into a three and make it. Lob to Anthony Walker. That was a really nice pass from Trey Galloway. Galloway hits a couple free throws. Gunn hits a couple free throws. I mean, that stretch right there really got IU back in the game and built the confidence that they really needed. And it was such a key timeout in that scenario, not just to settle them down and say, hey, we're going to get the ball inside to Malik coming out of this timeout, but just to kind of like calm everybody down, get everybody back in the game, stop the momentum just a little bit, and work through that stretch. I mean, to me, that stretch, while the Ware shot was fantastic, like that was really what won IU the game, because they went from feeling like they were teetering to being able to come back, take the lead in that stretch, and then kind of play a little bit of a back and forth game until they got to that point. But, you know, coach, as you look at that stretch, you know, what did you see schematically that they did differently coming out of that? Was it just as simple as, hey, we got to get Malik the ball, or was there a little bit more to it that than that you saw?
Well, I think they're doing a better job of when they have good offense, they move and then the ball goes into the post instead of just throwing it into the post. There still is a lot of standing. Miller Kopp brought that up in the last game show about are the perimeters cutting to or moving to an open spot when they're spacing on that. I just think that it was interesting that Michigan went away, started without doubling at the beginning of the game, then went to a double, and then went away from it down the stretch, and Renew just really took advantage of it. So I think you know, there's some issues with us with double teams and kickouts that we can discuss later, but we just got the ball at a right time. Again, I give credit to CJ Gunn in that stretch. He came in and just was a menace defensively, and when he hit that shot, that was a big, big momentum. And that's one of the things we've talked about hitting threes, and I don't know that we want to go down that path tonight. Let's celebrate the win. But when you hit threes, they can be momentum. They're not just 3 points, they're momentum. And I think hitting that three by CJ really helped the team get back into a part where, hey, we can get back in this game and make a run, and they did. And so that's why we're all clamoring for more threes, not 35 live by the three, die by the three, but timely threes can be very important in the overall feeling. But that's
a timely three is like a big dunk.
And renew. It is. Yeah. Those were the keys right there. I thought they guarded rather well for the most part.
They did.
Tonight.
Especially
that's a couple
early
games in a row. Yeah.
Off the jump, they guarded the perimeter real well. They lost.
They were staying close, Ryan. They weren't switching as much. And they were they did some nail slot rim. But they also stayed a little bit closer and they were trusting their rim protection. So everyone sees Gabe Cupps get driven. That's almost what you want. Just stay in front of him, Gabe, and raise your hands.
Yep.
And then let
that late play where he fouled McDaniel, you're kind of like, oh, just don't foul him. He's dead on the baseline. He's going to have to shoot it over you and Malik and Khalil Ware. Like, you know, let it go.
You're seeing some adjustments to the defensive game plan, to the personnel from Coach Woodson here as the season goes on that have been fantastic defensively.
Absolutely.
At times they switch. At times they don't. At times they doubled. At times they didn't. It's more active in changing things up than just a one way of doing things.
I agree, and I think worth noting was that starting unit has struggled at times this year with the perimeter defense, and they've been better lately, but, I mean, that's where we've seen them really struggle. I thought they were good from the jump. Michigan helped them a little by just kind of being slow to start, but that first 10 minutes, they really defended the perimeter well, kind of slacked off the back half of the second half or the first half, and then maybe a little to start the second half, but I thought they locked down as the game went on. Woodson, you know, sort of locked in on the players who were playing well. He even, you know, I thought Cupps played really well defensively, but at one stretch he wanted a bigger guy on guarding Michigan's perimeter. So they put CJ Gunn in, took him out. They had Mbako in there. Then they swapped Mbako and Cupps and had more aggressive defense on the perimeter. I thought it was a really good job of mixing and matching instead of sticking with, we have to have the five starters on the court together at these points. Now let's get the second unit out there. He was mixing and matching the guys who were playing well and especially rewarding CJ Gunn, who at times has not gotten back in the game after, you know, an early stretch where he hasn't played well or something. I thought they did a really good job of matching to the personnel. CJ's more athletic. He's longer. He's more aggressive. That fits against Michigan. I thought it was a really smart way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought another defensive adjustment he made was after Kamwa got pretty hot for Michigan, he started having Ware guard him a little bit more, and I thought that really gave him some trouble. But, yeah, I want to stick with CJ Gunn for a minute, Ryan, and I'll go back to you on this. I thought, obviously, Coach said during that stretch he was big, had a couple of steals in there, and that stretch could have been even better. I'm looking the way that I charted this down the stretch. IU scored 27 points on the last 17 possessions. So that's 1.59 points per possession. There were three possessions they didn't score. Two of them were back-to-back where they should have had layups in transition.
Yeah.
You know, Gunn kind of makes a great steal, throws a weird lob to Galloway who can't finish. Then Gunn does a Euro step after he gets another steal the next time, like going across the lane, trying to flip it back up with his left hand. But, man, he made some just tough-as-hell defensive plays, and I continue to think he is the best on-ball defender that this team has.
Feels like it.
He really was able to lock some guys up. And I think we finally saw what he might look like being mixed in with some of the starters. That's something we've talked about before. And so I guess I'll open it up just for you to talk a little bit about with him and how much difference that seemed to make for him when he wasn't a primary option. He was able to be a complementary piece with the second unit or with the, you know, a number of the starters and really seemed more comfortable in that role and focused a ton on defense with that group and was super disruptive.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting with him when he's with the second unit, I feel like those guys are almost fighting for shots. You know, it's like, it's, you know, and they don't need to, cause they could all get some, but I feel like when they get in, they're sort of like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to go and this is my opportunity. Let me go. Whereas when, you know, you see he or Banks with the starting, they just kind of flow better. They just kind of, they realize I'm not option number one. The ball comes to me, we'll make something happen, but I'm not here to direct traffic. And I thought CJ Gunn, yeah, I think you're right about that. Other than X, I think he is the best on-ball defender. I think more so, not just because of his ability defensively, because I think Trey Galloway is a really good on-ball defender too, but he also has length and athleticism that Trey just doesn't have. And I think that, you know, Trey's an athlete, but he just doesn't have the length and the lateral quickness that CJ does, and CJ's ability to just match up with anybody on the perimeter and make it, you know, havoc for him. And he also has great instincts for where the ball is going to be. And that's why you're seeing him get so many steals. You're seeing him be so disruptive. He just has great instincts. And so it was really nice to see him, yeah, get in with that top unit and then be able to let the game kind of come to him as opposed to having to go find it. And he looked comfortable. I mean, those threes he took, he stepped right into them. They were not awkward. They were not flat-footed, like, oh, I guess I'm shooting here. And you saw Trey Galloway have a few of those tonight where he was just caught the ball and he really didn't want to shoot but said, there's no one within 10 feet of me. I got to shoot this. He knew his shot was off and has been off, but he still fired him away. So I don't know. I think that seeing CJ Gunn play like this is great, and especially with Xavier Johnson out, if you can get extra stuff from him on both ends of the floor, it's found money, man. It really is, because you need it from these guys and you need more from the perimeter.
Well, and he's a guy who really, when you think about defensively, I'll throw it to you just a second, Coach. Yeah. You know, he's able to, because of his length, able to cover a lot of ground. So the one steal that he made late in the game, he's able to dig down a little bit, swipe at the post, and then get back out to intercept the pass that they're, you know, trying to kick back out. I just think, you know, he has pretty good instincts in that regard as well, and was able to get there. But you're right, the length that he has makes him, you know, such a guy that's so easy to get in passing lanes and things like that. But Coach, what were you gonna add about him?
Yeah, I'm gonna put this comment up from Brett Gearhart about he doesn't jump as high. He's making a transition from high school where he could jump, hold on to the ball, and hit on the way down because there's more room in high school, even at the Lawrence North talent level. But in college, you got to get your shot off a little bit quicker. When I'm down there at
games, hold the ball hostage.
Right, Brett. When I'm watching him warm up, I can predict when the ball's going in and when it's not, and it's exactly what you've said here in this comment. When he's shooting on the way up fluid and then coming down, the ball's going in. When he holds on to it a little bit longer, the ball's not going out. And he just got volume shots like that in high school, and he grooved that shot. But it's got to be a little different in college. That, and also not getting a lot of shots, that your form, sometimes you don't get into a rhythm when you don't get as many shots. But I want to point out something, too. That right after that big three, he makes a great help on defense when C.J. Walker lunges on the wing, and then C.J. runs back to his man. They X'd out, and they got a stop, and the ball went out of bounds. C.J. misses a layup in the first half, I believe at 1:15, and immediately hustles two steps back and knocks the ball back and gets a basket. Gets a steal, and then leads up for a dunk for Ware in the first half. The threes we're all going to love about C.J., but his complete game – what was incredible in getting some, and he made two great steals or deflections and things there in that run that you said, Andy, ended up in missed shots. He did make the one bad play where he threw it back in out of bounds. I thought he was trying to reestablish himself, and then he was falling out and thought he should have thrown it to the corner. He thought he had something. But other than that, I just thought he did a lot of great hustle plays all night tonight. And that happens when a shooter hits a three, then a lot of good things happen. But he locked in defensively first tonight, and that's going to be really important for Coach Woodson.
One thing I want to mention before we get out of this segment, just because we're talking about guys who impressed us tonight, Mackenzie Mbaka, we may not talk about him tonight because there's so much else to get to, but coming in off the bench cold and canning two free throws at the end, incredibly important. He hadn't played in a little bit. He hadn't shot in a little bit. Came in. He had been on offense a couple times in that stretch. They were going offense defense, but he comes in off the bench, hits those two free throws. That was absolutely huge for a freshman to come in and do that. And he is Indiana's best free throw shooter, so you can rely on him. But on the road, his first Big Ten road game, hadn't played in a bit, hadn't shot the ball in a bit, comes in, knocks those two free throws down. I thought that was enormous.
Yep. One other thing I wanted to touch on. I mean, it wouldn't be an IU postgame show if we didn't talk about the interior play on the front line. So it was, kind of a tale of two halves for both Khalil and Malik. So first half, Khalil ends up with 9 points, really came out, played well early on, but only got 8 minutes because of foul trouble. So even in that gets, 9 points in just the 8 minutes. Renew, on the other hand, only ends up with 4 in the first half, a couple turnovers, then came out, turned the ball over a couple times in the first few possessions of the second half, but ultimately really got settled in, had a couple stretches where they really played through him, as they've done so many times this year. He ends up with 11 points in the second half compared to just 4 for Khalil Ware, although the biggest one from Khalil was that shot that was mentioned in the banner moment.
So
I think that, I think as you look at those guys, they continue to complement each other well, but really want to talk about Malik, because I thought he struggled for a good chunk of the game, and credit to him for being able to settle in and make some of those plays when they went back to him. But, you know, Coach, what did you see from him that he was really struggling with? I know we've talked a lot about how much he's putting the ball on the floor and some of those kinds of things, but he really, for, I don't know, two-thirds of the game, maybe three-quarters of it, really struggled in stretches in a way that he had not coming into this game.
Yeah, you know, to come to think of it, I don't know if he was getting the opportunities that he got late when Indiana just designed to go into him as the clutch player, which is a compliment to him. But he struggles sometimes in recognizing the double team, and he spin dribbled. Early on, he had a post move, and he tried to reverse spin, and the guard came down and knocked it down. But he had four turnovers, three in the first half and then one again to start the second half. He was just making bad decisions. I thought he was really his worst game up until the very end, and he might get my game ball. I'm undecided. Like, there's so many ways you can go on the game ball. But when you get the ball down the stretch and put the game away and put the team on your back and handle the adversity within the game, what I mentioned in my opening, he is a bright, shining star for that, because he was not good offensively. He didn't rebound. Then however you pronounce that guy in the 13 or whatever from Kamwa or whatever.
I'm not even going to try.
So that and Shedder or whatever his name was, they got some tough
Shedder,
names.
Shedder, please. It's Shedder.
Shedder. But he was getting abused there four times in a row, and he was getting out-rebounded. He just struggled. For whatever reason, he was struggled, but he didn't let it stay with him. And when it came time, he wasn't pouting. And yes, you want players to play perfect, and yes, he's going to have a hard time in the film room when they get back to campus and watch film, because it wasn't pretty. But he's going to get a lot of praise from that coaching staff for sticking with it and ending up with 15 points and some key buckets. But he just didn't have a feel tonight. And sometimes players have that in a 32-game schedule. Didn't have a feel. Ware had it going early. The foul trouble got him in and out at times. And so, you know, but his rebounding is fantastic, guys. Just a huge part of this team being good.
Yeah, and Ryan, feel free to hop in on Renew here as well. But I think this was maybe one of the first games where maybe a little bit like the UConn game, but this was like more of an introduction to true Big Ten basketball than I think what you saw against Maryland, where he's just getting whatever hammered. I thought there were multiple times in the you know, first half where guys kind of like walking up into him while he's shooting.
And Maryland did not do that to him.
Renew got banged a bunch. And so this was you know, I think you see what a weapon that turn on jump shot can be. I was glad that in that moment at the end of the game, he didn't rely on that and settle for that, as he's done some other times. But I thought it was a good way to see him play through some of the physicality that he's going to see as we head through the rest of the season.
Yeah, Phil Martelli had them playing Philadelphia basketball, had Michigan playing Philadelphia basketball tonight. And I've always been told there's Philadelphia basketball, there's Indiana basketball, and there's LA basketball. Indiana is very solid, shooting, perfect form, all that. LA is very flashy. Philadelphia is punch you in the kidneys whenever you go up for a shot. And that's what it felt like was going on tonight. And hey, if the officials aren't going to call it, it's going to be a tough, bruising game. And that's what it was. That's what the Big Ten is. And I thought that where they weathered it. You know, I think that I'll say with everybody, I think the adrenaline of the beginning of the game really hit them hard, and they came out very energized. We're playing really fast defense. And when that wore off, everybody kind of hit a wall and they were real loose with the basketball. And, you know, it was everybody. You'd see like Peyton Sparks grabbed a rebound and dropped it like twice and tried to dribble and dropped it again. Like, they just weren't solid with the basketball. That happens to you on the road when you're not used to being on the road in those environments. And so I think that Renew, he's in his second year, but this is the first time he's being heavily relied upon in those situations. And he's, you know, they're making, I mean, guys who usually make smart plays are tossing the ball out of bounds, are going tossing into bigs, and you're playing an athletic team. You're trying to throw it over. CJ Gunn tried to throw it over the top on a rainbow, you know, and it's like, you're not getting that over a 6'10 guy who's athletic, CJ, you know, I mean, you're just not. Now, lesson learned, they started to get better. Second half, only three turnovers, but you saw everybody, including Renew, having a struggle there. But the thing that I love about Malik Renew is how damn tough he is mentally to not just give up. He's only a sophomore who didn't start last year. He comes back in the second half, and when Indiana needed him, he was there. He bullied his way to a number of baskets and was not timid despite getting hammered consistently. I mean, there were three or four times he went up for shots where he just absolutely got annihilated. You text us, Andy, it's like, you know, he could get hit with a 2x4 right now. They're not calling a foul. And I think that might have happened once, actually. But I think they quickly slid it off the floor.
Yeah, but it was like a wrestling scenario where the other guy
grabs it from him and throws it into the front row. There's somebody who sits on it. Yeah. But no, it's the mental toughness to not give up on a game you're not playing that well in. I thought he played pretty well defensively too. Look, some of those jumpers that were getting hit over him, I'll have that guy take those all game. He's not getting by you. He's not laying it up. He's shooting it over a 6'9" guy with an outstretched arm. He's going to make those. You tip your cap and walk away. I'd rather have that than Renew fouling him to try and make that tougher on him. So I just thought it was really good. And by the way, Khalil Ware, and I mean, we've done nothing but sing his praises that this year, that bucket he scored down the stretch, that is an NBA move. And that is why people are salivating about him. Back to the basket, cruising across the lane, little sky hook, like perfect. No question it was going in. Kid had all the confidence in the world. Despite what happened last year at Oregon, he has the confidence on the road at Michigan in that building in his first Big Ten road game to make that play and have, I'm sorry, the balls to do that. Love that kid. He is an absolute star, and he's only going to get better.
Absolutely. All right. Well, coming up, we're going to continue our breakdown of the 78-75 IU victory at Michigan. We'll point out some meaningful moments that you might have missed, which is going to be a great way to highlight some of the contributions from the bench. And then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. If you're listening to the Assembly Call, stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, this is Juwan Morgan. What's the only thing better than getting IU's first triple-double in 47 years? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
All right, welcome back to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Andy Bottoms here with the coach, Brian Tonsoni, and Ryan Phillips, and we are breaking down Indiana's 78-75 win over Michigan, which moves the Hoosiers to 2-0 in Big Ten play. And now it's time for today's meaningful moment that you might have missed. Lots of meaningful moments, and guys, I think Ryan mentioned the balance scoring and some of the contributions from the guys off the bench. I thought, in a lot of ways, some of these meaningful moments are going to be very much in my head centered around the bench guys who made plays. So I'm going to start early in the first half, where Gabe Cupps, I think this was right after. I don't think it was him who turned the ball over, but I don't know if it was when they went to a timeout and McDaniel kind of stuck his finger in his face or something like that. Cupps came out pretty quickly thereafter. I think it was after this, and basically just picked his pocket, stole the ball, gets down the court, leaves it for Khalil Ware for a dunk. And there was another time. Actually, I don't think that was it. It was when Cups got fouled. I think he made a couple free throws at one point, and actually made one of the more aggressive drives to the basket that IU had in the first half, where guys were really overplaying. You know, went to the basket. Just thought he showed in a couple moments that he was not afraid of the situation. And while, as we said, he didn't really, you know, didn't score a lot, thought he played good defense, did a great job trying to fight through some of the ball screens to get around to keep McDaniel hemmed in. But I thought a couple real just kind of toughness plays from Gabe early with that steal against McDaniel, and then the big drive. Like I said, one of those two came after either he fouled or made a turnover or something, but basically just like responding in the moment. I think, Coach, you said this earlier about the resiliency within the game, but you know, Coach, I'll throw it to you. Any thoughts on Gabe Cups, or even if you want to transition to a meaningful moment?
Yeah, Gabe Cups is there to move the basketball and try to keep a guy in front of him as much as possible. He's not replacing X. He can't do what X can do with the basketball, or even defensively. So he's got to do what Gabe Cups is doing, and he's going to do that. He's not going to fill a stat sheet, but he does make a lot of plays. And for the most part, teams are going to come after him. So he's going to give up drives, and it may look like he's getting abused, but that's where you trust that rim protection in the back, that he's got to do that without fouling. Just contest, hold your hands up, make it a difficult shot, and let your bigs come clean that stuff up. I think he's doing what Gabe Cups can do. He wasn't brought in to be a starter this year. He was brought in to be a backup. He's forced to be a starter. And for the most part, he is doing things that help Indiana win ball games. But he's not going to be a volume scorer. I'd like to see him get his feet set on those kickouts and be a little more confident shooting the three, because I think he can hit it or drive to the elbow and pull up. But he's really not out there for shot volume. He's out there to guard, to get us into the right offense, and to move the basketball, move people. And I think he's done a pretty good job. When I watched the Maryland game, he and Leo were fantastic. It looks bad when they get driven because they're not super athletic guarding people. But, boy, do they get people in the right spots, and that ball moves, and they're good passers. And I think we just got to – make sure we understand what Gabe's role is. And he's a momentum guy too. Like those two steals against Maryland and tonight, some of those times he just gets after things, he can really change momentum.
Yeah. Other meaningful moment from another one of the bench guys. We'll talk Caleb Banks a little bit, and Ryan, curious to get your thoughts on him. I thought he had a couple really nice drives where just put his head down, got to the basket, used his athleticism in matchups where, he could, and even the one turnover that he made in the second half, which was actually IU's last turnover of the game at around 11:26 left in the game, didn't turn the ball over for as bad as they played and took care of the ball early on. Didn't turn it over for almost 11 and a half minutes to end the game. I thought even that you could argue he got bodied a little bit into that travel, but was able to make a couple really nice drives, finish in traffic, got the dunk off of the scramble play where Gunn knocked the ball away and didn't give up on a play that Coach mentioned earlier. Right. But I think you continue to see Banks really provide that energy off the bench, had some other plays where you'll miss putbacks, but kept the ball alive. Just feel like he's settling into a role, but even within that is a guy who's playing with a lot of confidence and trying to use the advantages that he has with his quickness and being able to get to the basket.
Yeah, that first drive he had, it was just a quick, caught the ball, just quick rip through and went. There was no hesitation. There was no, oh, there's a lane for me here. He just ripped it through on his guy and went. He bullied his way through on another one. You're right, on that one drive, he was absolutely bumped into a travel, and the announcers even pointed that out. He was bumped into it, not his fault on that. Well, he had one turnover, and that was it. I love his athleticism, and I love his general, you know, his size and athleticism on the wing is great for Indiana. And the fact that you're now seeing him start to develop that confidence, he and Gunn are sort of in the same position. You've got to find a role for yourself on this team. What's it going to be? You're not going to score 30 points like you did in high school this year. So what can you do? You can provide energy. You can play good defense, and you cannot give up on plays. You block out, go get the ball. Yeah, you know, chase your man on defense, help communicate on defense. Early on, there was a miscommunication with Banks, and I forget who the other one was, and they got a three. But you can do all the little things, and in doing that, you're going to build confidence for yourself that you can then go get points, go get baskets, and provide even more value. It's a snowball effect. If you do the little things with the energy, with the focus, with, you know, just working hard and outworking the guys across from you, you're eventually going to get the other things you want, which is You want to shoot a three every once in a while. You want to be able to knock that down. You want to be able to drive. Well, when you start doing the little things, you gain confidence. Then when you start making the baskets, you start driving, you start finishing, you gain more confidence to do even more of that. It builds upon itself. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so to see these guys start to sort of see that click, instead of getting down when things don't go their way, they're investing in the little things to just get more playing time. Because if you do that stuff, coaches cannot leave you on the bench. And then they're not leaving you on the bench, so now you've got more opportunities to prove yourself on the other end. And that's what's starting to happen, it looks like, with CJ Gunn and Caleb Banks. Is it going to be that way every game? No. If you play really bad coming out of the shoot, Woodson is a guy who will give you 5 minutes and bury you for the rest of that game and then give you another shot the next game. But this is the start for those guys. This is them finding their role in this team and continuing to make themselves valuable. You make yourself valuable, you're going to find that playing time, and then you have the chance to take advantage of it. And you're seeing that with both of those guys right now.
Yeah, and I think another guy I'm going to throw into that before I throw it to Coach for a meaningful moment that he had is Anthony Walker. He had a couple of just really, really poor games.
Yep.
Trying to do too much. And it seems like, again, he's another guy who's settling into a bit of a role, scored on a great baseline out of bounds play in the first half, was able to have another drive kind of similar to what we talked about with Caleb Banks, where, you know, he's a little bit undersized in some of these cases, but for a Big Ten team who's going to put a bigger guy out on him at the four, he's just going to drive right by somebody.
Yep.
And he's taking shots that, you know, are all going to the rim. Did the same thing really in the Maryland game. Had the turnover this time where he basically got stuck with the ball at the end of the shot clock. But, yep, you know, had the big had a tip in that was right before that big run that IU had, you know, Ware misses a shot, but he's able to get in there and score on that. Also had that lob from Galloway. So 8 big points from him. Thought he's gotten better defensively in a lot of ways of being able to kind of stunt and get back where he needs to get. And even just recognition of where he needs to be and seeing things on the court. I think that's been night and day for him over these last few games. And again, hopefully a sign of guys starting to settle into roles on the team. So, Coach, any thoughts on Walker? I know I said I was going to throw it to you for a meaningful moment, but I thought,
well, that was one of my two
talking about with the other guys. Then it made sense to talk through that.
That was going to be one of my two. I liked his offensive rebound there. I think he had a putback, if I believe right, or maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what he does is, and IU used the post player, the four man at the high post a lot, whether it was Renew catching on an elbow catch or Ware in the middle of the court and they run that little floppy action with the guards down. I really like that, and I think IU should call that more often. That they had the high-low first play of the game, then they had the high-low first play of the second half. They need to go back to that more, and that's where I would like for Woodson to keep calling those types of things because it's in their arsenal. But when they have that four man at the top, what Walker provides is more athleticism than even Renew or Ware. They were throwing him the ball to relieve pressure. He was catching it like one or two steps past half court, and then he was going into the dribble handoff, the DHO on the left side. But that was able to Michigan was getting into the guards, and that's where we started turning the ball over because we were leaning back and trying to throw the ball in the post. And that when Walker came in, he provided that, and then he's the slasher role that he has developed is key. And if he can do that instead of hunting those 15-foot shots or three-point shots or trying to do too much, he had the one late shot clock mistake that really is not his. He's got to try to do something there to get a shot off. I thought he was fantastic tonight. The other thing is I'm big on these post kickouts. I'm going to talk about them over and over and over again and try to watch how IU gets better at them. They've struggled. They struggle with the post kickouts on the doubles, and they're taking way too many bad shots at the rim. And I'd be interested to sit down with the coaching staff and wonder if they're hoping to get fouled or they want them to be aggressive. But there are times when you could dribble back out, find a trailer for a three instead of flinging something. Banks does it a couple times. Galloway really does it. Those transition steals, when you got to make a judgment instead of throwing some crap up there at the rim because you got a steal. You know you got guys coming back. That's a dagger, too, when you come down and they think they got the fast break and you play off 2 feet and kick it out for a three. But there was one where there was two post kickouts in a row. I think I have it, I don't know, it was late in the game, where Renew kicked it across. Then they fed the post into Ware, and then Ware kicks it back out, and I think we got a drive and a basket. It was two consecutive kickouts before the double team came where Indiana had been turning the ball over. But that's going to be important. Then the next possession down, yeah, I think it was then it put us up 73-71, and then we get a stop and we come back down, and Renew takes a really contested shot through two people on the low block. And I think he had the little wraparound baseline to the strong side corner available, if I remember right. So the possession before, we scored to take a two-point lead because we did the kickouts right, and then Renew trying too hard. And again, he did a great job. But Indiana's got to do a better job of recognizing that bad shots in the lane are just like turnovers, just like a really bad three. And Indiana is taking a lot of those, in my opinion. That, and then the fouling up three, you either like it or you don't like it. I love it with this team because we got great rebounders. My big fear in fouling up three is if you don't have a rebounder and then you give the other team. But I thought Woodson utilized that. He called a timeout. They've practiced it. They did it before half court so the guy couldn't really raise up and try to get a three-point. I thought that was a great decision by Coach Woodson. I've gone back and forth in my coaching career. I am now a believer in fouling up three, especially if you have an advantage rebounding.
Yeah, it was interesting to me. I was trying to think as it got down the stretch there how much of that we even saw last year at all. I didn't really recall a lot of situations where IU had to make that decision. So as it got there, but I thought they did a good job of slowing McDaniel up enough, knowing that's who they wanted to get the ball to on the run, and given that foul, you know, 60 feet from the basket, so it's not going to turn into that scenario. I was glad we didn't have to find out, but I was curious at the end if Ware had not deflected that pass and they got the ball inbounds, were they going to try to do it again? It gets pretty dicey in that situation because with 2 seconds left, they're taking maybe a dribble or two and trying to get into a shot, but they're going to try to get into a shot real quick if it seems like you're going to foul. So don't know what they would have done there, but
Andy,
I'm glad not to find out.
A lot of coaches under 3 seconds call it off. It's usually 10 seconds to 3 seconds is where you're going to foul. You might have two of those depending on how quickly they foul on an inbounds. But the coaches that I've talked about too, it's usually around the 2 to 3 second call. It like you said, it is too much danger for a catch and shoot and get three fouls. So I think the 3 second, they wouldn't have fouled. They would have just defended at that point. Yep. Would have been my guess.
Yeah, so Ryan, one other moment, and I wanted to use it as a way to talk about Trey Galloway. It's a play that ended up working out really well for him, and it ties in with what Coach said to some of the post kickouts. It was a possession relatively late. Michigan had switched. IU did a good job of recognizing it, getting it to where they came with a double. He could just see over everybody, threw a skip pass across the court. Renew kind of walled off the guy. Galloway goes in, gets fouled, and scores. He was really up and down. It took a ton of shots tonight for IU. It was 3 of 12, only 3 of 6
from the
line. Missed all 3 of his 3-point shots. Didn't get a rebound. 2 assists, 1 steal.
No turnovers.
No turnovers.
Some of those threes should have counted, though.
You know, just to really, I think he made some really good plays at times. They got him going a little bit early in second half, made a couple of nice drives to the basket, but really struggled a lot. And I think it probably goes back a little bit to what we've talked about so much this season, that there's a lot on his plate right now, more so than just even playing the position that he's being asked to play. That is exaggerated without Xavier Johnson. But it felt like out in the Maryland game, you know, you felt like a little bit of the old Trey was there. Maybe he's turning the corner, getting back to what he was. And while he made some winning plays at times in this game, was really one where he struggled a little bit. What did you see from him that contributed to that? It seems like his shot's kind of taken a regression back to what it was a couple years ago. Just thoughts on what you saw from him that led to some of the struggles that he had.
Well, I think Coach will back me up on this just because both of us have observed a lot of shooting in our lives. He's aiming the ball right now, and he really has no confidence in his shot. He knows it's not going in. He just feels like he has to shoot it, and that's death for anybody taking a shot anywhere on the floor, whether you're 2 inches from the hoop or 25 feet away. If you're thinking about it and you are not confident, there is zero chance that ball's going in unless you miss wildly and bank it in accidentally. Like, that's the only chance you've got. And so that's what's going on with Trey with his shot. And I don't know if that's going to get better this year. He might hit a few this year, but it's not last year. It certainly is not last year. I'll say this on that play you're referencing, Andy, where they got the kick around and he drove to the basket and scored. That was the first time I had seen Trey Galloway all night. you know, the real Trey Galloway. It was the first time I'd seen the real guy all night. Maybe at the beginning of the second half, he drove in, had a little bit of a that short hook kind of floater he had to go in. That seemed like Trey too. But that was a guy who caught the ball and went confidently to the hoop through contact and scored, as we've seen him do 1,000 times. That was him. And that's what he needs to be. He doesn't have to shoot 12 times in a game. He should not be leading this team in shots or free throws at any point this season. And he did both tonight. That's a recipe for Indiana losing. Indiana was able to overcome that, and because of the contributions they got from everybody else. But if Trey Galloway is taking 12 shots in a game, Indiana's in trouble. And especially when, you know, Khalil Ware is taking 10, Malik Renew is taking 11. You know, and it's not like those guys were living at the free throw line to make up for that. So I think Trey's been up and down. I think he's a leader on this team. He has new responsibilities. He's, again, as you said, having to be the primary ball handler a lot. That's not where he's at his best. That's just the nature of Indiana's guard depth right now. They weren't able to get a point guard in the transfer portal, a backup point guard. It's on he and Gabe Cupps to be the other two ball handlers. CJ Gunn can't do that yet. Maybe eventually they can get him to do that. But you're looking at a guy who's got a lot to do, and it's clear at times he's not comfortable. I thought he found a comfort zone against Maryland, but that was an up and this was a down. And so we'll see where he settles in for this season. But tonight was ugly in a lot of ways. I think it affected his defense at times too. He made some dumb plays. I mean, there was a time he fouled Doug McDaniel. He had his hand on Doug McDaniel, reached out and grabbed him late in the second half, 20 feet from the basket. Doug McDaniel's not pulling up and hitting a three from there. He's trying to drive you and do a pull up, and you're reaching out and grabbing him instead of fighting over a screen or calling for a switch. That you put him on the line. He made, I think he only made one of the two, so you didn't get burned too badly, but you know, you're giving free points away there. You're a senior, you're a leader. You're supposed to be better than that. And I just think it was a bad night for Trey in general, with some really big moments sprinkled in. And that drive was huge for him, and it was huge for Indiana as well.
Ryan, I agree. Trey brings so much to this team. And one of the things that he doesn't need to do is score. 10 no. points, maybe.
You need him when they leave him alone.
10 points. Fast breaks, steals, those drives down the lane. But, yeah, he is overthinking his shot right now. And he's taking seriously the responsibility for production almost to a fault in some of the plays at the rim that I talked about in the shooting. It'll come around. He had a great game against Maryland. But, you know, it's one of those things where he had more assists against Maryland. I don't know that he had an assist tonight. If Indiana only had a few, as we transition into numbers, I think they only had 7 assists tonight. Tonight was a north-south game anyway. With them pressuring, still think we should have more assists than just 7 overall. But the execution and the passing, the turnovers, all that stuff happened in the first half. But yeah, he just struggled tonight. Yet he made some big plays down the stretch, and that's hence the can you improve within the game? And both he and Renew made winning plays at the end. That's what you want from your veteran players, because you would want these guys to be perfect 32 games in a row. They're not. Indiana's 2-0. Without their starting point guard in the Big Ten, on the road, with their best players taking a half to get going for the most half. That is really pretty impressive that they stayed with it. Many IU teams of regimes near and not so near would have lost this game because they weren't prepared to play on the road. And that's a credit to these coaching staff and to these kids, these young men that you know, they handled it tonight. Yes, they didn't. Trey did not have a good
toughness.
Game. Yeah.
It's toughness.
It is. And you're going to need that because you're going to have to win against better competition. You know, Michigan's talented, not a super great team. You're going to run into Auburn. You're going to run into Kansas. We need one of those games. Games like this can really move Indiana closer to winning those types of games.
All right, before we transition to stats, a reminder that the Meaningful Moment is brought to you by our friends at the Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience Indiana University athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, you can visit HoosierTicketProject.org. Again, that's HoosierTicketProject.org. And as we get ready to go inside the numbers, these are brought to you by Jackson Hewitt Tax Services. If you live in Bloomington or the surrounding area and you want your taxes done right, contact our friend and Chat Mob Hall of Famer Megan Mahaffey and her team in Bloomington, Bedford, and Martinsville by calling 812-339-3334 or visiting jacksonhewitt.com. Well, guys, in terms of key stats, I'll throw this out, and this is probably a jumping off point to everything. You know, IU made their three threes, and they were done. But if you look at the composition of where IU scored, it's a little bit more what I guess you would want. You got 52 points in the paint, 15 points at the free throw line, 9 points on threes, and 2 other points somewhere on a mid-range shot. You know, this is not going to be a team, and I think, Coach, you said this in the Discord, like, we got to stop hoping that there's going to be a bunch of threes because there just aren't going to be. And I think there were times that guys had shots open to take and they didn't. There was one possession, I swear, we passed up 3 wide open threes to kick it to
somebody
else.
It was almost like they were told on that possession,
who would
not
then pass up a wide open three to pass to somebody else who was wide open, who would then also not shoot the ball. But you know, but I think, you know, points in the paint, IU almost doubles up Michigan. I think as you look at that, you know, shot diet, whatever you want to say, you know, Michigan only hit 4 threes, took 17 on the game, which is really, you know, a fairly low number. IU was able to run them off the line a little bit. And if you think about how these numbers come together for them, you know, they had 28 points in the paint and they made 22 two-point field goals. So, you know, that means they made 8 mid-range shots outside the lane. Those are shots you're kind of willing to give up. And I think, Coach, that speaks a little bit to some of the things we've seen change a little bit schematically from a defensive standpoint of not giving up as many wide open threes, being able to run guys off the line and force them into the shots that IU might want them to take as opposed to the shots that the offense wants to take.
Yeah, again, I credit the scheme. I think in the last few days they've gone away from the massive 1-4 switching because I think that got renewed in some foul trouble. He still got in foul trouble with that. I think they still have the nail slot rim philosophy, but sometimes they're on the elbow. Sometimes they don't switch. I just have been really impressed with that change because the threes were going down at high volumes and kept poor teams in ball games early. And that's what you do as a coach. You have a philosophy. If things aren't working, you got to tweak it a little bit. But I think all of that, the effort for these guys have been there since game one. And now, you know, their execution's getting a little better defensively. The scheme's getting better, in my opinion, defensively. And you're seeing that against Maryland, they took away what Maryland did well. Against Michigan, I think they took away Doug from the point guard position. He didn't score a lot tonight, and he had been, you know, the guy who runs that offense. So I think you have to the 3-point line is so important in a college game. You got to guard it, and you got to do what you can to guard it, and then you got to execute on offense and utilize it on offense as well. But I think defensively, Indiana is really starting to gel, and they're going to need that again as competition gets even stiffer.
Yeah, and Coach, you mentioned this is another one that sticks out maybe on the negative side. IU with 7 assists on 30 made baskets compared to 13 turnovers. Like I mentioned, just 3 of those turnovers came in the second half, which was quite an improvement. You know, as you said, it was a little bit more of a north-south game. Michigan only with 8 assists on 26 makes. Ryan, what are you
driving buckets?
What I was just gonna say. I think a lot of that was Michigan was really pressing up on guys on the outside, and when IU was aggressive, it tended to result in fouls being called. They got a lot of fouls on Michigan early in the second half by just making moves to the basket.
Yep.
They were up on top of everybody, and as Coach said, you know, first half guys get kind of leaning back and trying to figure out how they can do something when somebody's right up in their chest. But I thought that was where a Caleb Banks didn't care, ripped, went to the hoop. And so I think some of that led to the low assist numbers, but you know, Ryan, feel free to comment on that, but any other numbers stand out to you as you look over the stat sheet?
In relation to the assist numbers, you look at Indiana took 29 layups. Now they only made 16 because they were 50% in the first half. But if you're taking a lot of layups, it usually means you're driving. And if you drive, it takes away the assist. And so I think that has a lot to do with that. You'd obviously like that success rate to be a little higher, but they scored 78 points. It's really hard to complain about how that worked. But yeah, I thought the ball moved and then it didn't. I thought there were long stretches where it was just throwing into the post and, you know, hope somebody makes a one-on-one play, which sometimes they did. But I thought then in other stretches, the ball did move really well, but you still got those lulls where, you know, I think IU went, you know, 3 minutes without a bucket at one point in the second half, and the ball was just stagnant. And that's going to, again, lead to a depressed assist number. As for other stats, you know, we talk about IU needing to shoot more threes and make more threes and be a more three-point dependent offense and a more balanced offense. That's only necessary if you're giving up threes on the other end and you're assuming the other teams are going to shoot 30-33% from three, shooting about 20 to between 18 and 25 of them. Well, Michigan only made four and Indiana made three. So that's not imperative in this game. Where it's going to be imperative is where you face a team that lives and dies at three-point line. They start hitting them. You got to be able to counter that. Now, maybe you counter it by scoring 70 or, you know, 60 points in the paint. They got 52 tonight. Maybe you can counter it that way. But in general, you tend to have to be able to counterpunch with three-point shooting teams, with good three-point shooting teams. They didn't have to do that tonight. And so Indiana going 3 of 9 and Michigan going 4 of 17 on an efficiency basis, Indiana won the three-point line tonight. I don't know how often that's going to happen. It's still a concern moving forward, especially with a guy like Galloway not shooting well. You hope CJ Gunn comes up. You hope Caleb Banks keeps being able to shoot. You hope Khalil Ware feels comfortable out there some more. Maybe X comes back and can hit some. You don't need to make 15 a game, but you need to be able to counterpunch what other teams do. And tonight, they didn't need to do that because Michigan was terrible out there. So, and some of that is credit to Indiana's defense on the perimeter, of course. So we get a lot of people talking about that. Well, they won. Why do you care about the three-point line? It's all about projecting out what it's going to be eventually. And so they need to be able to counter that at some point, whether it's at the free throw line, whether it's with just dominating the paint, whatever. You got to be able to counterpunch those threes. Tonight, they didn't need it. I think Indiana won the three-point line tonight, even though they came a 3 points short. They did it in 8 fewer shots. So a solid performance there. And then the last thing I'd say is rebounding was dead even on the road. That's a great sign for Indiana.
You know, the other thing you got to be prepared for to hit some threes, and I don't think Indiana will ever be a volume three, and I'm okay with that.
No, not going
to
happen.
But you need to hit maybe 6 or 7. If Indiana hits 6 or 7, they're going to be very hard to beat. But teams are going to, you know, we play in a league that has great coaches. You know, almost all of them have some really good strategies, and they're going to start taking away the strength of Indiana, which is inside game, and you want to be balanced. If you're heavy one way or the other, good coaches can really put a dent in your offensive game plan by their defensive strategy. Indiana, again, I'm going to beat this to death, but Indiana has enough threes if they share the basketball a little more and take better shots against traffic in the lane.
Yep.
You're drawing the defense, and we're more of a catch-and-shoot three than we are going to be flare screens, and I've just come to realize that. But we're missing opportunities when we are successful driving or posting the ball and they double. There are and they rotate and get teams in rotation. You got to make teams pay for that, and I think we could hit 5 or 6 threes. You know, and that the one play, the one where if we hit that up two and we kick it around and get a one more and a one more and we happen to hit a three, it's 76-71, game over. That's a dagger three. So you don't need to make 10 threes and take 50.
No.
That's not what we're talking about. You need to hit timely threes. And Miller Coppy even said this too. You need to get good threes. I think there are good threes to be had the way Indiana is currently playing, with a little more execution and vision of getting rid of the basketball.
I think the last thing on that, Coach, is guys just need to be confident in taking them. Like, yes. There were a couple times where guys just passed them up tonight, and I think it's just I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's kind of a culture thing of, like, we've got these two great guys inside. Let's feed them. Let's feed them.
Or we got to drive the ball. It's been emphasized to drive the ball.
Where it's, hey, if Mbako's standing open on the three-point line, I'll let him take that all day. If Gabe
Cupps guarded, let him take it.
Yeah, it's true. Gabe Cupps had a couple tonight where he just kept the ball moving. It's like, no, Gabe, you're starting. You can take that shot, man. You know, we
see. How about the shot fake, one dribble, step aside? We see a lot in the college game. You know, a closeout comes, you shot fake, step out, and shoot a three.
Instead of that shot fake, and then, oh, no, I got to get rid of it. Yeah, no, yeah. I just want these guys to have more confidence shooting it, because I think they've got the talent to make them. You know, it's just a matter of getting it in their heads that it's okay to do it. So this year, I don't think they're going to have that problem of needing them manufactured for them as much. Just got to be willing to take them when they're there, because they're there.
Yep.
Yep. Two other quick numbers before we break here. One of these Ryan mentioned earlier, but you know, 9 guys played for IU. Everybody scored, and 8 of the 9 guys had at least 6 points. And the other thing we often cite, blocks and steals, as a proxy for activity level on defense. IU with 4 blocks and 8 steals. 4 of those steals coming from CJ Gunn, who actually had one of the block shots on a nice help defense play where he timed a jump on Kamwa trying to take a shot and knock that out of bounds. So
great play by both he and Walker. Their Walker slid over and he took the ball. It was great.
Yep, exactly. So, all right. Coming up on the assembly call, we're going to hand out our game balls. I think a lot of good options. And Hoosier Hustle Award, also a lot of good options. So we'll do those, discuss a lingering question or two, and look ahead to IU's upcoming opponent. That's all next here on the assembly call. Stick with us.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, this is Deron Davis. And what's the only thing better than dominating a Duke big man in the post? It's celebrated with friends afterwards. Join Gerard, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Hall call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
And Gerard could make it.
That's unfortunate. Gerard is not here.
Gerard's busy.
But you're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show, minus Gerard. I'm Andy Bottoms here with the coach, Brian Tansoni, and Ryan Phillips, and we're breaking down Indiana's 78-75 victory over Michigan. It's now time for our game balls, which are presented by our friends Allie and James at Bloom Environmental. As we enter the colder months and begin to stay indoors a bit more, they want to make sure everyone knows about radon, a colorless, odorless, radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. It enters buildings through cracks and gaps in the foundation and through service pipes of homes. If you want to find out more about getting a free radon test kit, you can contact Bloom Environmental today and mention the assembly call. They'll give you that free radon test kit and mitigation assessment from there. You can learn more about that at bloomenviro.com. All right, game balls. Fellas, a handful of options for this one.
It's the toughest of the season.
I look forward to you guys splitting the vote, leaving me to break the tie, as I can only imagine will occur. So I suppose I could get out in front of it, but I'm not quite sure who I think I want to give it to yet. So I'm maybe willing to listen to arguments on either side. Coach, I'll throw it to you first for your who gets your game ball tonight.
Yeah, I think there's three possibilities. I think Khalil Ware, I think Malik Renew for his late play and domination, and then for CJ Gunn changing the dynamic throughout the game could get game balls. I think it's just – it's absolutely tough, but I'm going to go with Ware. I think his start to the game was solid. Renew's turnovers and his poor play in the first half, I didn't think he played a complete game. If you want to go Renew, it's because he dominated at the end and led us in scoring at 15. But Ware was right there. I loved his rebounding effort. I loved his sky hook, his presence defensively. And, again, I thought it wasn't one of his better games. I think he's had more dominating and better games. I'm going to go with Ware.
All right, Ryan, which way are you going to go?
I've mentioned this a lot on this show, and I was told in journalism school that how you finish is all with something you're writing or a movie or whatever. How it ends is what people remember. Unfortunately, my philosophy on that could cut two ways here because Khalil Ware had that last play, and that's all everybody's going to remember from this. But in the second half, Malik Renew had 11 points, three rebounds, a block. He played 17 minutes against Ware 16, and he was plus 10, where Ware was plus 2. So, Coach, I don't want to even repeat what you just put in the chat right now. But on the game, I really think that Renew's when the chips were down for IU in the second half, when they were behind, he took over and got them right back in the game. And Gerard Morris texted us, actually, and said, Malik needs to take this game over right now. And he obliged and did. And I think he got to give it to Malik. I think Ware's amazing. We expect that from him now. But Malik led him in scoring. He had 6 rebounds, 2 offensive. He did have the 4 turnovers. But he only had 2 fouls also. And this was a game he could have gotten into foul trouble. And he didn't. He stayed out of foul trouble. 2 blocks, 33 minutes, and a plus 6. He had more blocks than Ware. So I'm going to have to go with Malik by the thinnest of margins here.
Well, as I knew you guys would, you left this to me to break the tie. Both made compelling arguments in this case. My lean, and I'm gonna stick with it. My lean was Ware coming in. I think he makes the game winning shot, deflects that very last pass, and I think what Coach mentioned about the start was so important for this team. To be able to settle in, get a little bit of a lead, play with some confidence. And I think what you saw from IU when he went out of the game in the first half was it was really where things started to get away from him a little bit. They had a 5-point lead when he left with his second foul, and they just kind of tried to limp their way to the finish line and get into halftime in a relatively close game. And so I think just his presence defensively continues to be such a deterrent for opponents. And I thought defensively when they switched him onto Kamwa for a bit, I don't think Kamwa scored too much after that. And so I'll give it to Khalil. I thought some big rebounds in traffic, as Coach mentioned, in the game-winning bucket. Don't think you could really go wrong with either guy, but I'll give mine to Khalil Ware, who is taking the mantle from TJD in terms of game balls. It's his 6th on the season.
I think this was the hardest one of the – well, it's back-to-back hardest because Galloway was real tough with yes. Ware last time. But I think this is the hardest one we've had all year because it was the tail of two halves for those guys. If Ware doesn't make the game-winning shot, I think it's Malik's game ball. But I agree with you guys. Yeah. I think it's 50-50, and Ware was fantastic tonight. All right.
Well, let's do the Hoosier Hustle Award now, which I think a lot of worthy candidates, but I think maybe a little bit easier choice on this one.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, and it's time for the Hoosier Hustle Award. But first, I have some exciting news to share about our friends at Evansville Security Services. They've been acquired. They are now part of the team at Security Pro 24/7, which provides trusted and reliable security for your event or business, from Bloomington, my hometown, to Evansville, where Coach Calvert Chaney grew up, and everything in between. Just like hustle can't be measured by stats, prevention can't be measured either, but it has a huge impact on your bottom line and peace of mind. So let the security pros at Security Pro 24/7 help you prevent a bad outcome today. Visit securitypro247.com to learn more. That's securitypro247.com. And tell them Anthony Leal sent you.
All right. Well, like I said, guys, I think that while the choices here are plentiful. I do think there's probably a clear choice to be made here. So Ryan, I'll throw it to you first. I know you already put yours in the chat.
Yeah, I don't think it's a contest. I think it's CJ Gunn. Just so much energy. Coach is right. He changed the flow of the game when he came in. He, you know, the offense, great. 8 points, hit two threes, hit two free throws, but two rebounds. He did have two turnovers. One of them was just a bad decision on a pass, and then the other one was, you know, the breakaway that just kind of fell apart. But he had a block and four steals. When was the last time? You know, four steals is insane for 20 minutes of play. And they were plus five when he was in the game. They were a better team with him on the floor, and he earned minutes late. And that was the big key, is you saw him on the floor late playing defense. And he was all over the place. Love that for CJ Gunn, and love it for him moving forward. Exciting to see, because we know what kind of player he can be if he just kind of finds his footing and his role, and it feels like he's starting to do that. So I thought this was his best game as a Hoosier tonight.
Coach, who gets your Hustle Award?
Yeah, CJ Gunn for me, for all the reasons there. Plus, our student intern, Josh Pose, was up at Michigan, and he texted me that if I didn't go CJ Gunn, he was going to try to get me fired. Like, I don't know where this kid comes from. You know, he's been on the show twice, and now he thinks he can decide.
Josh, call us. We'll talk. It's, you know.
And Josh, by the way, said the locker room was going nuts as they were waiting for the players to come out. The media was out there. They were waiting for Woody to get done with just a huge victory on the road. You get to fly home now and do all that stuff. You know, that's stuff that really can make a team get better within. We always say, yeah, you learn when you lose. Well, you learn when you win, too, and it's a heck of a lot better to win. But CJ Gunn, proud of him. A lot of us had said that if he can reach the level we think he can, as soon as he can, it helps this Indiana program. Well, tonight was that night with the steals, the deflections, the all-out hustle. And again, playing through the adversity. He makes a bad play, throws a ball, which is a Michigan bucket. He missed a layup on one end, and he makes a hustle play. Those are things I like to watch as a coach. What do you do when you make a mistake? What is your next move? Does it take you 2 or 3 minutes to sulk and you know, then start playing hard again? And CJ had none of that. He played through his mistakes tonight and made hustle plays. Just didn't play. He made hustle plays immediately after having some trouble. So hopefully that continues and his shot making continues. It'll still be up and down. He and Banks will still have up and down. That's what sophomore players, developmental sophomore players will do. But tonight was a night where he was ready when his number was called and really produced at a high level, especially with the energy.
Yeah, he gets mine as well. I think this was a far easier one than the game ball conversation. And it's something that Ant Wright talked about with Jared and Tony on, I guess it was yesterday, on Monday. And, you know, just talking about, he just wanted him to be able to play more, to try to let him figure things out. And I think he earned the right tonight with his play to get more run with the starters and to be able to figure things out, and he flourished. Made a couple, you know, he would follow up a good play with a, you know, a questionable one every once in a while, but like Coach said, he got right back in it when that would happen and really just never gave up on any of the plays, played solid defense, knocked down a couple big three-pointers, and just really hope that this can be a springboard for him as he moves forward, because, you know, given – you don't know how long X is going to be out, and you just, you know, Galloway's been up and down. If somebody can ease some of the scoring burden that Galloway clearly feels, you know, we talked earlier whether that's necessary or not. Reality is he feels some of that scoring burden to be able to produce points. I think if CJ is able to come in and take a little bit of the load off from that perspective, and you're not losing anything defensively when you're putting him in the game because he's playing so well on that end, I think that's really huge. And so excited for him to get those minutes, make the most of them, and hopefully that's something that he can really build on going forward. That is CJ's second Hoosier Hustle Award. This one has been a little bit less lopsided. He ties Anthony Walker and Gabe Cupps for the season lead with two apiece. So lots of guys in the mix there. Don't want to go too much into lingering questions or really even the IU Auburn preview because it's quite late here, but you know, lingering question wise, I think a couple come to mind. One is what kind of guard player are you going to be able to get against Auburn? I guess maybe I'll kind of lump these both together as a by way of previewing the game a little bit. You know, great opportunity for a neutral court game against Auburn. They're coming off a loss to Appalachian State. who's a pretty good team. But you look at Auburn, really, really tough defensively. They're going to get out and be physical and pressure you. How do IU's guards hold up to that kind of pressure? Because that was something that gave IU some struggles earlier in this game. And how does Trey bounce back, to me, is probably the biggest lingering question. How can he figure out the balance between, you know, how do you get more of Maryland Trey versus what you got tonight? And some of the highlights that he had tonight, how do those become more the norm as opposed to some of the other plays? You know, coach, as you look at that game, any, you know, kind of quick thoughts looking ahead to Auburn and what that might mean, or things you're going to be looking for from IU's guards in that situation?
Well, I think IU's played a couple dynamic point guards without X and come out victorious. I think that's key, too, because you're going to get the same type of guard play with Auburn. But the question is, when is Indiana going to put a complete game together? That is 1 through 9 playing better together, not anyone playing bad for a half or whatever. Or, as we saw in the last game against Maryland, 30 minutes of great basketball, and then we kind of coasted at the end. Against the next two opponents, you're going to have to find a way to play complete games. It would be nice to get X back if he's healthy and can play to have a full roster. But, you know, I haven't watched a whole lot of Auburn yet, but they're real relentless. And, you know, we beat two teams that were better than, which is what you did. You took care of business, and especially on the road without your starting point guard, that is fantastic. But the question still lingers, is it good enough to compete against the best teams on your schedule? I don't know that the answer is yes. I'm not sure the answer is no either. We just don't know yet until we see it. Great opportunities the next two Saturdays to get a key win for the resume. Road win was step one. You win one of these non-conference games that's left, that would be step two, and then let's go compete in the Big Ten.
Yeah, these next two, really, as you look at the schedule and kind of look through these four games of Maryland, Michigan, Auburn, Kansas, you've banked two Big Ten wins at this point. Now you get into the only two games left in the non-conference slate that are going to move the needle one way or the other. Can you find a way to get one of those games? Obviously, it would be great to get both of them, but you know, can you find a way to get one of those so you've at least got something you can point to in your non-conference that says, hey, I was able to either win a key neutral site game or, you know, beat one of the big boys at home in that Kansas game. So I think these, you know, the team has really navigated this stretch. I think they should come into these games with confidence, which is something that I think pretty easy to question at times before that. But, you know, how they bounce back and respond will be interesting to see as we move forward. But with that, you're listening to the IU, the Assembly Call IU postgame show. You can remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel and use the code HOME23 at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Coach, we were doing really well. I don't know that we need to play that quite yet. I felt like we had gotten through the, you know, early game jitters where we kind of kicked the ball around a little bit, and then
it's late. It's late here. It's later for you guys.
It's real late. I mean, maybe that's just a sign the coach is ready to go to bed and he just wants to shut it down.
Sorry
and he's
about
just
that.
Like,
coach, you don't need to do final thoughts. You're done.
Like an award show where they just kind of play you off.
I forgot maybe we do final thoughts.
You're good. Of course you're okay.
It's 12:36.
Absolutely. It is. All right. When you go to Home Field Apparel, use the promo code HOME23 at checkout to get 15% off your first order. And now it is time for last call. I feel compelled to go to coach first. Although just him going first, the fact that he opened this up doesn't really allow him to leave once he's done. But I'll throw it to him first anyway. Coach, last call.
My
on
performance
the,
tonight. My performance tonight was worse than some of those guys' first half performance with turnovers. I had 4 turnovers on the production board.
You're like Sparks
tonight.
Free throw.
I own it. I own it. It's bad. I'll have to learn from it. I'll watch tape. I will get
this
better.
Show was your UConn. It was you're gonna learn from it.
It was a complete failure on my part. But a good win. Any road win in the Big Ten is good. You know, Michigan is 4-5. But they have talent, and when you travel for the first time collectively with this team, you have to be pleased. I thought there were a lot of good things, always some lingering questions out there, but you got some time. you know, a few days now to get ready, fly down to Atlanta, and really try to straighten some things out, get some people healthy. But tonight was, you know, you felt good throughout the game, and then you were just afraid that things were going to maybe turn bad. And it's just nice to know that Indiana basketball can find a way when you weren't playing perfectly to grind out a win on the road. So whenever I do get to bed after sending this to Ari, I will sleep tight and wake up very proud of the effort and anxious to keep getting better, because we're going to need to get better against the top competition.
Absolutely. Ryan, your last call from the game?
Yeah, how about this fan base tonight, guys? We had like 1,300 people watching live at midnight. So
800 still in there now.
I mean, with all the mistakes, guys, why are you still here? It's but no, thank you everybody for tuning in. I think it just says how starved people are for a big win like this, you know, a road win in the Big Ten. And I've had some people in my mentions on Twitter stuff being like, yeah, well, Michigan's bad. And, you know, should we really be celebrating this much? And it's like, can you imagine if they lost? Like, you win. Just so you guys know, win is better than a loss in the end. And you want to bank it now, because Michigan's a team that's talented, could get it together down the road, and this win could look great in a few weeks, in a few months even. So, yeah, winning a road game, I don't care if it's Northwestern, I don't care if it's Penn State, I don't care, Rutgers, like, I don't care who you're playing. A win on the road is always big in the Big Ten, and the goal in the Big Ten is win your home games, try and win half your road games, and you'll be in contention for the championship. And so IU took a big step tonight. You've banked a win, you know. You've banked a road win. You're 2-0 to start the conference. You're the first 2-0 team in the conference. You know, you're not Purdue. You didn't go on the road in a game you were supposed to win and stub your toe. And IU wasn't even supposed to win this game on the metrics. So it's a big win for Indiana. It's a big win for this team. Like, forget the IU program. Forget, you know, the name on the jersey. These kids needed a win to put them together, to continue to build this, because we've said what they do now is what they're going to be in January. We're going to know in January. Things like this along the way, these signpost wins, are huge for building that confidence, building that continuity, building that chemistry. That plane flight home is going to be so fun, guys, and they're going to be so motivated to have another good plane flight home the next time they play on the road. So big win for Indiana. Got to be proud of those guys for, maybe things weren't going their way, they toughed it out in the end, and you got just a brilliant play from your NBA center there at the end to really notch the win and be the biggest play of the game. But everybody contributed, and I think that's the most encouraging part. So now they got to keep – it's always – we always say it. It's not about the win. It's not about the loss. It's how you respond to it, how you carry it forward. So let's see how they can carry forward. How do they deal with success moving forward? And this team's shown over the last couple of games, they do pretty well with success. So we'll see if that keeps going.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, we've talked about this a lot and kind of the journey that this team is going to be on. And I don't think it started the way that people thought that it would, but you're starting to see it come together. You're starting to see more and more signs of guys figuring things out, guys understanding roles, guys playing with more confidence and being able to come back from difficult situations in the game. I thought, you know, a lot of coaches' comments about resiliency really ring true with a bunch of guys who have not played together all that much. And I think there's something powerful. They can start to get to a point where they believe they can win some of these games, fall back on these experiences of, hey, this game seemed to be getting away with us. We righted the ship and really and scored almost every possession down the stretch of the game when they really locked in and focused after things seemed like they could have gotten away. They could have let that 5-point, you know, deficit get to 10, lose the game and go home and be like, well, tough Big Ten road game, just couldn't get it done. But they, you know, found a way to rally together without the guy that you would expect to be running the show at this point. And so to bank two Big Ten wins without Xavier Johnson, I think it's given opportunities to other guys who have really seized the opportunity and played well. And so hopefully those things become springboards for those individual players, but also for the team. And so, you know, not there yet, still mistakes and things that this team can do better, but you're starting to see some of the things that made you excited about at least the athleticism of the guys who are on this team. And I think as we've talked about, you've seen some schematic adjustments that Don't feel like guys are just out there making the same mistakes over and over and over again without fixing it, without it being addressed. And so I think it's hopefully a run of exciting play for these guys. And like we said, two biggest non-conference games are left on the schedule coming up the next two Saturdays, and see how they get through those. And but at least, you know, when Big Ten play starts up again in January, you're already 2-0. And so I think that's huge. And as you look at ways to build confidence for this team, these guys are excited, it sounded like, as coach said, in the locker room, and they deserve to be, because you know, any Big Ten road win is a good Big Ten road win, and super happy for them and how they were able to pull through, even when there were times that things weren't going their way, and you know, fixed a lot of things in the game. So 7-1, excited to see what this team can become as they continue on this journey and they continue to grow. But we'll be glad to follow along, and maybe this is a game we look back at and say, hey, this is something, the experience they had here pulled them through another game as they get further into the season. But that'll do it for this for tonight's edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to substack.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show, and special thanks to John Ringer of Rig Design for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU Hoops again with you on Thursday night. Until then,
take it from me, Jordan Halls. Keep your elbow in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
That's it. We're done. No more questions.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Hey, the show's over. Here I come, Coach Tonsoni.
Not one chance she's awake right now.
No. Not at all. Hey,
he's going to tap her on the shoulder. She's going to be like, get off of me.
Yeah, Andy and I totally screwed that up on purpose so that Jared has to do the show and the producing all at once so we can get fired from that job. Sorry about all that. I need to have my screen up.
Coach, the people didn't leave en masse. You're fine.
You're good. We had a pretty good system worked out when we were doing the Assembly Call radio shows, but I clearly forgot that some things are different during the actual post-game shows, as I sit there and cause dead silence while waiting for you to play something that you had no reason to play. So,
hey, so FYI, everybody, one note, tomorrow, the Big Lead's biggest article of the year comes out. Please go to the site and read it. You'll find it on Twitter. Don't just click on the tweet, click on the article for me. It's something we spent 6 months working on. It's the Sports Media Awards, and it basically has consumed my life for the last month. And the only breaks I've gotten is to do this show. So I am probably going to be up from now until it publishes in the mornings, which will be at 10 Eastern. So you guys go enjoy sleep. I will not. And please click on that tomorrow if you get a chance. If you see it, I'm sure the Assembly Call account will share it too. But it's our biggest day of the year, so other than the Super Bowl. So please go check that out. Help me out a little bit. I'd appreciate it.
Definitely.
That's all.
I do feel like Coach and I blew our chance at winning one of these awards.
Yes, you guys tonight. Did. You were in the running. For podcast.
That's something we've got to live with. And
you know, I got to go rewrite that now. It's kind of a pain in the ass, but
this will only make us better as we go forward.
It will. You'll learn, and next year you'll come through. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, everybody go check that out. Coach and I need to get some rest. Hope everybody enjoyed their first IU game on Peacock. What a time to be alive, and so glad we can enjoy it together.
All right, guys.
Good night, everybody.